Your Money Briefing. Money and Market Stories from the Wall Street Journal.
I'm J.R. Whalen in New York. When is $1 million not $1 million? When Uncle Sam comes a-knocking, and his knocking is about to get a lot louder. We'll explain why that's important to retirement savers in a moment. First, these money headlines. Rates for home loans power to their highest since 2011, setting up a fresh test for a housing market already strained by lean supply and surging prices. The 30-year fixed-rate mortgage averaged 4.61% in the week ending May 17th. That's according to mortgage finance provider Freddie Mac. That was a 6-basis-point jump, and it marked the highest for the popular product since May of 2011. Now, the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is still substantially lower than its long-time average. That's little comfort, though, for would-be homebuyers. Home prices aren't just rising faster than incomes are, they're accelerating. And the 15-year fixed-rate mortgage, by the way, averaged 4.08%. A Wall Street Journal review of documents produced for 1,450 digital coin offerings has found 271 with red flags that include plagiarized investor documents, promises of guaranteed returns, or missing and fake executive teams, all in an effort to lure investors. Investors have poured more than $1 billion into the 271 coin offerings with the journal identified red flags. That's according to a review of company statements and online transaction records, nearly 1 in 5 of those reviewed. Some of the firms are still raising funds, while others have shut down. Investors have so far claimed losses of up to $273 million in these projects. That's according to lawsuits and regulatory actions. This is your Money Briefing from The Wall Street Journal.
The Wall Street Journal podcasts are brought to you by American Express. No matter what you do, from business and finance to a podcast about business and finance, it's easier when you don't go it alone. The powerful backing of American Express. Don't do business without it.
Welcome back, everybody. When is $1 million not $1 million? When you're talking about pre-tax 401k accounts. Tax attorney and certified financial planner Rebecca Walser joins us via Skype to explain why savers need to be aware not only of their retirement account tax liabilities, but rising tax rates that will potentially impact their savings as well. So, Rebecca, can you explain why the taxation on 401k retirement accounts is likely to go up?
Sure, of course. And it's just a simple matter of math. If we just look at, we just had a tax cut, right? And so we now right now have the lowest taxes we've had really almost since Reagan. There's a couple of Bush areas that were low. But basically with these low tax rates, taxes, in my opinion, are on sale in 2018. And if you just read the tea leaves, which is $21 trillion of debt, and really more urgently is the actual retirement of the boomers en masse. So we hear a lot that 10,000 boomers retire a day, but that's actually not really true. The concentration of the baby boomer generation were really born so that they are going to retire en masse, about 70% of them, from 2022 to 2027. When you've got that many people retiring in that short of a window, you can see that the shift of benefit payments is going to affect the tax code very, very soon.
So Fidelity Investments released a report on Thursday, and it pointed out that the number of Fidelity 401 accounts with a balance of $1 million or more rose by 45% in the first quarter of this year. That's a good showing for savers, but you're of the belief that a 401k is not the best sole vehicle for saving for retirement.
The 401k, I think, is going to be looked back on, and this actually really already happened. If you look at the cover of Time magazine, for example, in 2009, right after the Great Recession, it said it was time to retire the 401k. And that was really more about market volatility and not so much about taxes. So there's really two factors that really can detriment a retirement saver inside the 401k, and that is market volatility and it is taxes. So if we look at the market volatility piece of it for a second, the reason that we had a 45% increase in the Fidelity plans that went from $1 million to, you know, from 108,000 to 157,000. It's not so much that they were able to contribute, you know, so much more in the last year, but it's because the market itself has had the highest highs ever. Dow, NASDAQ, and the S&P 500 all hit the highest highs ever multiple times in the last 12 months. So we've had this huge run-up in the equity market, and the account balances are reflective of that. So while it's really great news, it's also, it's a worrisome news for people that are really 10 years or outside of retirement, because as they retire, the volatility risk is a lot more strong for them. They don't have an investment horizon left. And then on the tax side of it is a whole nother function. It's the fact that we have basically deferred the tax. Now we have this very large balance. We're going to pay the tax at some future year when taxes, we know the need for government revenues is going to be so much greater in the future than it is right now, simply from those two things we talked about, the debt and the baby boomers combining.
And in addition to 401ks, what are some other options people should be considering as a way to save for retirement?
So the very best option, of course, if it is all, at all possible, is the Roth. I've seen a huge increase in my practice alone of the amount of employees that are eligible for a match, even though they are contributing to the Roth. So most likely the employer will make the match in the traditional plan, but they are making their contribution in the Roth. And if anybody can do that, the time to do that is now. And even though we're addicted to instant tax savings, we really have to look at the bigger tax picture and say, gosh, do I want to pay taxes now while taxes are the lowest they've been in years and years and years? Or do I want to pay it in some future point when taxes most likely are going to have to be so much higher? And there's been so many studies. It's not just me saying this. I mean, there have been a 60 Minutes interview where they like point blank asked, you know, one of the ranking members of the finance committee, do taxes have to go up? And their response was, well, we all need more revenues. So what does that tell you? So, you know, if you can at all contribute to the Roth and get a match, that would be the best option. The second option from there is if you cannot do that and you need to contribute to a traditional in order to get a match, contribute to the traditional to get the match as much as you can. But then beyond the match, look for something else like the Roth. If you are income phased out of the Roth, which a lot of people are, then you have to look outside of the Roth for some different, you know, tax advantage vehicles.
And so that would really help to fill in some of the gaps as Uncle Sam tries to get his share out of your accounts. And a person's 401k, let's say when Uncle Sam gets done with it, is worth $1 million. It sounds like a lot of money, but is that even enough for retirement?
You know, unfortunately, I wish it were, but we've got two things happening. So we've got, first of all, a really new study that's saying the next 10 years, Social Security will start to just cover what Medicare and medical costs are going to cost the average American. So 10 years from now, if we start to say Social Security, if we even get it to the extent we get it, will cover medical costs, you're looking at having to draw all of your lifestyle needs from whatever you've saved. And you know the 4% rule, which the 4% rule is actually debunked. It's too aggressive. But let's just take the 4% rule that everybody knows. 4% of $1 million is only $40,000 a year. You tell somebody that's got a $1 million retirement account that they can only live off of $40,000 a year, and they're very, very disappointed. So I don't think that people understand that $1 million, you know, to last you potentially 30 years of your life, 65 to 95, if you live, you know, if you're, you know, lucky to live that long, it's just not going to really give you the lifestyle you think you're going to get.
And those who are retired or those who are nearing retirement have a bit of a boost coming out of the gate, and that is that they are now wealthier than any previous generation. But it should be added inspiration to find as many different options as possible to cover themselves when they go into their golden years.
What I'm going to tell you is this is the thing. It's great. We all have this euphoric feeling right now of the market. But what I will tell you is even Warren Buffett wrote the letter to his shareholders this year saying to expect a 50% loss, to expect a 50% decline in this market. And that is an expectation that we should all have. So these people that are on the verge of retirement, 10 years or less outside of retirement, the last thing we want them to do is repeat the Great Recession. We don't want their portfolios to go down anywhere from 38 to 57%. We want that money protected as much as possible and get safe growth from there. They could probably do pretty well in retirement as long as they don't go through this major correction that's coming, and it will come as it always comes through the market cycles.
All right. That is tax attorney and certified financial planner Rebecca Walser joining us via Skype. Rebecca, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.